Zdravo nasite. Kako ste?
Zdravo.
Good morning. How is everyone? It's an honor and a joy to be here. Let's go to God in prayer. Jesus, we worship you. You're a mighty God. You are so good that we have the freedom today to be in Mound, Minnesota, to worship King Jesus. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have it in English to read and study. As Matt was sharing this morning, God, where he works, the word has been translated only 2 or 3 years ago. And one of the areas they don't have in the Old Testament. So God, thank you that we have all 66 books in English that we can understand. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you for your death and resurrection. And thank you for the joy of the Lord that gives us strength every day. Lord, may you be glorified. Work in our lives now and save your people and grow us, become more like Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. So why missions? Why go? Why should one take his family to another land? To learn another language, another culture, to start all over in a sense, to leave family, houses, friends, stability. Is it really worth it? Is it really worth it, Matt? The humiliation, the hours of learning another language, uchi uchi glavabuchi. Of feeling like a foreigner all the time, seeing little fruit, getting sick with new types of sicknesses, the loneliness, the pain. Is it really worth it? So I ask again, why missions? Why go? I'm gonna share a story with you that really impacted my life as a youth. I'm sure some of you have read the book, Brusko. The man is Bruce Olson, born in St. Mary, Minnesota in 1941. He was raised in a very legalistic Lutheran background, and his parents were very cold and indifferent to the gospel. But he embarked on a genuine quest for real Christianity. He studied Greek and Hebrew and began reading the Bible in the original language. Olson feared the judgment of God and was eventually driven to his knees in repentance and in faith in Jesus Christ. After a while, he was touched by the stories of missionaries working in South America, and he felt God's call to go to the Indians, the Matalón Indians in South America. So at age 19, without sponsorship, without going to a Christian college to get his degree, he went to South America. And what did he face? Persecution. It was early on, he got pierced by an Indian arrow and later almost executed by the Matalón chief himself. He faced sickness, parasites, chronic problems, but he felt that this, in a way, was a gift from God to continue on in the joy of suffering for the Lord's work. And as he continued on there, surviving, he met Bobby, his new friend. And they had a story that one day that there would come an ant that would come out of this hole as they were digging in a hole to look for God. And Brusko used this. That hole, or the ant you're talking about, there's a story. It's the incarnation of Jesus Christ. He came from heaven to earth in the form of a man. And today, this tribe in South America, about 70% of the people are born-again Christians. Amazing how this boy, 19 years of age, says, "Lord, here am I, send me." And he went. Beat up, being beat up, almost killed, getting sick, but he was obedient to the call of God to go and to share the good news. John Piper says in his book, "Let the nations be glad. Missions exist because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over, and the countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more." So missions exist because worship doesn't. I have a question for you today, friends. Who is Jesus Christ? And how does that impact your everyday life? Who is Jesus? And how does that impact your everyday life? If you would turn with me to Luke chapter 22, verses 63 to 71. In your Red Pew Bibles, it's page 883. Luke chapter 22, verses 63 to 71. "Now the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him as they beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking, 'Prophesy, who is it that struck you?' And he said many other things against him, blaspheming him. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people gathered together, both chief priests and scribes. And they led him away to their council. And they said, 'If you are the Christ, tell us.' But he said to them, 'If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God.' So they all said, 'Are you the Son of God then?' And he said to them, 'You say that I am.' Then they said, 'What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips.'" Who is Jesus, and how does it impact your everyday life? Those first verses there, I think we can find out that to some, Jesus is a liar and a lunatic and deserves to be mocked, beaten, and killed. But who is Jesus to you, and how does that impact your everyday life? This is just after Judas betrayed Jesus, later hung himself. Peter denied Christ three times. And here Christ is being beaten, blindfolded, mocked. Are you willing to be mocked or beaten or killed or even given the raised eyebrow for what you believe? In Francis Chan's book, Letters to the Church, he writes about believers being persecuted for their faith in Christ. It says, "A believer from a house church in Iran, who can't be named for obvious reasons, explained that people who want to join the church have to sign a written statement agreeing to lose their property, be thrown in jail, and be martyred for their faith. Many Christians are arrested in Iran, either persecuted or in prison for years. Fellowship looks a lot different when the church consists of those who have a biblical understanding of Christianity. Interestingly, some research shows that Iran has the fastest growing evangelical population in the world." Persecution. God is using that. He's growing his church. We saw here Christ is being persecuted for being who he truly is, God. How about you? Why is it hard or scary at times to share Christ with other people? As we learned yesterday, I think normally it's because of the fear of man. But I was encouraged by what James said yesterday. We fear man more because we don't fear God enough. And also we don't fear man. We should love man enough that we go and share Christ with him. I know my own life. I was very timid, very afraid to share the gospel with other people. I came to Christ at age 6. And but growing up, my high school years, sports was my God. Then I had my knee injury. And God started doing surgery, first on my knee, then on my heart. Who do you love more? Is it Christ or is it sports? If I had to be honest, it was sports. And God started showing me, if you really love me, you will follow me and obey my commands. And then Debbie and I, boyfriend, girlfriend, back then went to Brazil, South America. And we shared the gospel. And we saw people come to Christ, including in a jail cell. A guy was going to commit suicide. And he gave his life to the Lord that morning. And he gave us the rope. This changed me, challenged me, transformed me. Wow. People need a Savior. People are dying and going to hell. Are you willing to go to be beat up like Grushko? Or to be given the raised eyebrow, maybe here in Mound, at Caribou, or at the WAC? Are you willing to stand strong for Christ? So the question it is, who is Jesus, and how does that impact your life? Number one, Jesus is the Christ. Verses 66 to 68 says like this, when day came, the assembly of the elders of the people gathered together, both chief priests and scribes, and they led him away to their council. And they said, if you are the Christ, tell us. But he said to them, if I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer. Jesus is the Christ. It's very interesting, as the leaders were meeting here, the Jewish council, probably the Sanhedrin, reading a commentary by Daryl Bach, the rules here were totally broken. Very unfair. Why? Here's seven key things how the rules were broken in this trial. The proceedings did not happen at the temple. Jesus allowed no defense. Jesus doesn't blaspheme in the technical sense of the term by using the divine name. The verdict comes on the same day as the trial, when 2 days were required for capital crimes. Jesus being tried on a feast day, which was normally prohibited. Contradictory testimony is supposed to set free the defendant. And last, the high priest is not supposed to pronounce someone else guilty. So even from the start, very, very unfair. And Bach goes on to say, as it talks about there, if you are the Christ, tell us. The question here is not designed to get a political charge against Jesus. The question is designed to get a political charge against Jesus that he is claimed to be a revolutionary, even a king next to Caesar. And here we find out that the chief priests and the scribes really believe if Jesus, if he is the Christ, as they ask him, if I tell you, you'll not believe, and if I ask you, you'll not answer, they really just want Jesus condemned and killed. They don't seem to care about the truth. They want him killed. And they do not care about the truth. Do you guys care about the truth? Jesus says very clearly in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus Christ, he loves the truth. He is the truth. Do you care about it? I know in Macedonia where we work, my family and I, it's almost 2/3 Orthodox. And what does that mean in Macedonia to be Orthodox? Basically, Christianity is a ritual, not a relationship. It's a church building, not the body of Christ. It's praying to saints and to a God, not only to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a tradition to live by, not a truth to die for. Where do you guys stand? Do you live and die for the truth? Or are you just going through the motions? There's probably about 4,000 believers in the whole country of Macedonia. And Pastor Dave knows, he's taught some of these men that love God with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind. You've got Pastor Perl, Slavko, Igor, and Mihailo, the leaders of our church at Word of Hope, and they are sold out for Christ, and they know that Jesus is the Christ. And honestly, I believe that they are willing to live and to die for the truth. God is at work in Macedonia. So who is Jesus? He is the Christ. Point two, Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. Verse 69 says, "But from now on, the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God." Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. In the New Testament alone, Jesus is referred as the Son of Man 88 times. And in Ezekiel, God called the prophet Ezekiel Son of Man 93 times, referring that he was a human being. So we can see that Jesus, as we know, he was born, he was a man. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." He was a physical man. He was fully man. Yet we know he was fully God. But as read this morning by Caleb, there's even deeper meaning here. The Son of Man was a messianic title. Jesus is the one who has given dominion and glory in a kingdom. When Jews use this phrase, he was assigning the Son of Man prophecy to himself. He was fulfilling prophecy. The Jews of that era would have been familiar with the phrase and to whom it referred. Jesus himself was proclaiming to be the Messiah. As we go back to Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 7. Daniel 7, 13 to 14 says this, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." Amen. Does this give you great joy? That Jesus Christ is coming back? That he is returning? As we know, it says in Philippians 2, 9, 11, that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Who here is excited for heaven? I know I sure am. And one of our friends is too, Paul Erickson, who's at the nursing home. I know some of you guys have went there and visited him. And a number of months ago, when I was with Dave Brickley, he went to visit Paul. "Paul, what do you use your time thinking about?" Well, "I think about heaven." Paul's ready to go to heaven. He knows where he's going when life's over. He's ready. And he's excited. And he thinks about heaven often. Do you guys think about heaven often? Are you excited for heaven? And praise God for heaven. It says in Revelation 21:4, "He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away." Jesus Christ, truly, he is the Christ. He is the Son of Man. And point number three, Jesus is the Son of God. Verses 70 to 71. "So they all said, 'Are you the Son of God then?' And he said to them, 'You say that I am.' Then they said, 'What further testimony do we need? We have heard it from his own lips.' So he said, 'You say that I am.'" In Mark, in the Gospel of Mark 14:62, he's even clearer. Jesus says, "I am." Are you the Son of God? I am. So here, Jesus is not in the sense of a, he's not God's son in the sense of a human father and a son. God did not get married and have a son. God did not mate with Mary and together with her produce a son. Jesus is God's son in a sense that he is God made manifest in human form. It's a talk here in John 1. In Luke 1:35, it says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." This is huge, that Jesus is calling himself the Son of God. Do you believe this? There are many religions in the world. Hinduism, Islam, Buddhism. And where we do not agree in is who is Jesus Christ. I know Islam is growing rapidly in the world. And in Islam, Jesus Christ is not God to them. He's only a prophet. And they even believe about us Christians that we have three gods. They do not understand the gospel. They need someone like you to go to them. If it's your neighbor in Mount, if it's downtown Minneapolis, if it's across the world, if it's your co-worker, to understand what does it mean to be the Son of God. Jesus is indeed more than a carpenter. The Jewish leaders understood exactly what Jesus meant by the phrase Son of God. To be the Son of God is to be of the same nature as of God. It's a claim to deity. The claim to be God himself was blasphemy to the Jewish leaders, as they would have known what Leviticus 24, 15 and 16 says. It says this, "And speak to the people of Israel, saying, whoever curses his God shall bear his sin. Whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him, the sojourner as well as the native. When he blasphemes, the name shall be put to death." So the claim to be the Son of God was blasphemy in the Old Testament. So he put to death. So truly, who is Jesus? Is he a lunatic? Is he a liar? Or is he Lord? So we discover here in Luke chapter 22, 63 to 71, that Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. So why missions? Should we go? Is it really worth it? As John Piper says, missions exist because worship doesn't. People need to hear the gospel of Jesus. People are going to hell, and they don't even know it. It is absolutely worth it. I still remember struggling, learning that Macedonian language. Anna knows. And I wanted to quit. But the thought that kept going through my mind was that people are going to hell and they need to hear the good news. So I kept going. I kept learning. I kept running the race. Charles Spurgeon says, "If sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over my body. If they will perish, let them perish with our arms above our knees. Let no one go there unwarned and unprayed for." About 160 years ago, Charles Blondin would walk on a tightrope across the Niagara Falls. And this is, who's been to Niagara Falls before? Many of you. It's 1,100 feet long and 160 feet high. And Charles Blondin would take furniture, and he would walk this tightrope back and forth the Niagara Falls. And people are amazed. It's like, wow, go Charles, go Charles. And then one day, he has his wheelbarrow, and he asks, "Do you think I can take this wheelbarrow and go across the Niagara Falls?" And they say, "Yeah, you're Charles, you can. Go Charles, go Charles." And guess what? He's walking and he's going across Niagara Falls. And people are amazed. And then he asks the question, "Do you think I could put a person in here and I could walk across Niagara Falls?" They said, "Of course." And they go wild. "Of course you can, Charles, of course you can." Then the following question, who here is willing to hop in the wheelbarrow, and the crowd goes silent. In the same way, that's what God is asking of us. Am I willing to surrender my life to Jesus Christ? Do I trust Jesus Christ enough to hop in the wheelbarrow? Maybe some of you here today are not for sure where you're going when life is over. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed that we'll make it home after this church service. But where would you go if you had your final breath today? We all have a problem, friends. The problem is called sin. And our sin separates us from God. But thanks be to God that He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for me and for you, so you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But you must come to a point in your life saying, God, I've tried being good. I've tried giving to the poor. I've tried going to church. None of your good works will save you. Only Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. May today be the day of salvation. If you're not 100% sure, I challenge you guys today to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. As it clearly says in the Bible, that everyone who calls upon the Lord shall be saved. So repent of your sin and say, Lord, I am sorry, forgive me. And put your faith in Jesus Christ, who is the way to God, for He will save you. Jump in the wheelbarrow today and sing, Lord, I give it all, and I surrender my life to You. If you're not sure, please come talk to me afterwards, Pastor Dave, and we'd love to talk to you. What does it mean to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? How about the rest of you that know Christ? He is the Christ in your life. He's the Son of Man, the Son of God. He's your Lord and Savior. How is that impacting your everyday life? Can your family and friends and neighbors see Christ in you? Does your list of five know that you are a follower of Christ? Have you told them yet about your best friend? Maybe some of you here are sensing God is calling you to take that next step. Maybe to go to Russia with the Hutchcrafts, Macedonia. Maybe it's just to go across the lawn and talk to your neighbor about the good news. But honestly, maybe some of you, God's calling you to go and saying, Lord, here am I, send me. I challenge you to take a step of faith and a step of action today. Jump in the wheelbarrow, surrender your life to Christ, and enjoy Him. So who is Jesus Christ? Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God. And next week, you'll learn that Jesus Christ is also the King. Let's pray. Lord, we just come to You and we are in desperate need of a Savior. We need the gospel. God, we might be good, but we're not good enough. We might compare ourselves to Hitler and we're good. Compare yourself to Billy Graham, we're not so good. But Lord, compare ourselves to You. We are nothing. So we thank You for the gospel, for Your death and resurrection, and for the hope that we have in You. Thank You that You are the Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God, and You are our King. So Lord, help us. Give us boldness. Give us love in our everyday lives to be ready to share a good word for our best friend, for Jesus. Lord, I just pray, bless each person here. And if there's one or two or three that has a question, I don't know where I would go, that today that they would pray and surrender their life to You, repent of their sin, and say, yes, Jesus, I believe. Save me. I jump into the wheelbarrow, and I follow You with my whole life. We worship you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.